You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it is time for sports as we say hello to Michigan Radio Sports commentator John Eubank, and full of turkey and football.
Football, and the turkey might not be unrelated.
There you go. Well, it depends now. Lions fans came out of the weekend happy, and certainly they're rowing the boat at Western with that great win over Toledo. But speaking of turkeys, we want to start with the Michigan and the Michigan State stories. Very tough weekends for both teams.
Yeah, for Michigan State, it was almost a mercy killing. It's a rotten season. They're happy to see it gone. They're 3-9. They had a great heroic performance the previous weekend against Ohio State, and they're out of gas.
But let's start with Michigan-Ohio State. And in the 113 matchups between these two rivals, where does that double overtime loss to the Buckeyes rank?
It will be debated. It was not the purest football game I've ever seen. Mistakes on both sides. But as far as pure tension, stakes, first game ever in overtime and double overtime at that, many will be ranking this one number one. If not number one, certainly top five all time.
No doubt that Jim Harbaugh, along with a whole bunch of folks I saw on Twitter, were really hanging the loss on the officiating. And I'm wondering, what is your take? How much of that was officiating versus how much was due to mistakes by the Wolverines?
And the answer is yes. Look, when you lose a game by 3 points in double overtime, I can point to 10 plays or calls that any one of them had gone differently, Michigan wins. Now, that includes, on the Michigan side of the ball, of course, the fumble on the 2-yard line instead of a touchdown, the pick six, that's when you throw an interception and the guy runs it back for a touchdown. Almost next best thing, a next interception that eventually scored. That's 21 points right there. In the fourth quarter, Michigan failed to gain more than 5 yards of offense. They had the ball for 3 minutes out of 15. All right, that's a problem. So all that is on Michigan. Flip side is the refs were systematically horrible. The worst we've seen in a big game, I can say that. One of these refs was fired in 02 for incompetence, brought back apparently. One was barred from doing Ohio State games due to the Ohio State bias in 06. That's your crew. Ohio State finishes the game with 2 penalties for 6 yards, making them the cleanest team in the history of football. Michigan, in contrast, had 7 penalties for 59 yards, which is about standard. And some of the overlooks and some of the calls were pretty egregious. If you're a Michigan fan, go ahead and point to that, and you're right. If you're not a Michigan fan, point to Michigan's mistakes, and you're also right.
You got it both ways. So the Big Ten Championship is off the table for Michigan. Any way it could make the college football playoff?
They've got a room full of powerful computers working on this one right now. Every Michigan fan website, and there are ways. They need a ton of help. Actually, if Michigan State had beaten Penn State, the path would not have been that difficult. That's how this whole crazy thing works.
Yes.
For Michigan to get there now, you need Washington and Clemson to lose their conference title games. You probably need Penn State to beat Wisconsin, and then Michigan might get in. But don't make plans and don't hold your breath.
And here, as you say, the Spartans, it was a mercy killing. Just be done, that miserable 45-12 loss.
Watch the offseason, though. Here's what's going to happen.
That's what 2017 starts today for Mark D'Antonio.
Absolutely, and that's kind of an advantage in a way. There are no more distractions. You got a banquet, and that's it. You're done. So what happens next is right now they've got 2 offensive coordinators and 2 defensive coordinators. That is a bad recipe. Too many cooks in the kitchen. So that, I bet, gets fixed in the offseason. I would be surprised if they don't have some sort of coaching changes going on. Now, some guys might take different jobs, so that might solve your problem for you. But that needs to be fixed, I think, for Michigan State to return to what it has been the previous 3 years, which is 36-5. That is a legendary record right there. You've also got a conflict, as we've discussed before, in the locker room between the fifth-year senior grinders who earned that record and their 2- and 3-star players coming in, and the 4- and 5-star players they've now recruited who don't feel like they owe the seniors very much. So there's been a conflict in the locker room throughout the season. That has to get fixed.
And that goes away with these seniors moving on.
Most of it. So look, don't count them out. D'Antonio did not forget how to coach in September, I promise you.
All right. Well, we have to go to Western Michigan, which beat Toledo Friday. And Toledo had a really good record.
They were, what, 9-2 going into it?
Something like that. Now here we have Western Michigan 12-0. And there's Heisman buzz about Corey Davis?
There's buzz. He won't win it.
Okay.
But he might get an invitation to New York for the finals. That in itself would be the first time any Broncos ever gotten that. So that's pretty cool. And they've got the MAC title game coming up. If they win that game, they're going to be in what we call a BCS Bowl, one of the top bowls out there. Most likely the Cotton Bowl, probably against Penn State. How about that one? So this has been a truly historic season for Western Michigan. Hats off.
Hats off. So that will be the MAC title game against Ohio Friday at Ford Field. And then the Lions were at Ford Field serving up another come-from-behind win. This was over the Vikings. So now we can say the Lions are indeed in first place.
You might want to repeat that.
The Lions are in first place.
There you go. Cubs win the World Series. Lions are in first place.
This is something. Their seventh fourth quarter come from behind win. And it's the fourth time this season they've picked off a pass in the last 2 minutes to hammer out a win. Is that dumb luck? Is that good playing? And can that carry them through the rest of the season? Because there's a few more games to go.
Yes, yes, and no. It is dumb luck. It is good playing that you cannot keep going to that well all season long and pull that rabbit out of a hat to mix metaphors throughout the season. Having said that, they're 7-4. You win two or three more games, you're probably in the playoffs. So out of the next five, you got to win, you know, two or three out of five. Very doable. And we've not seen a playoff game in the state of Michigan in a long time.
91.
In a long time.
Who gets the biggest credit, in your view, for this happening for the Lions?
I got to go back to my man, Jim Bob Cooter, right there. He must have a banjo somewhere, I assume. It's a great name. He is in charge of the offense. He's in charge of Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford, in his eighth year, is finally playing like the first-round pick that he was 8 years ago.
It seems that Martha Ford's house cleaning a year ago has paid off.
So the best hire, I believe, the Fords have made in my lifetime is from Martha Ford, hats off. They got Bob Quinn to be the general manager. He is from the New England Patriots. They're the guys who win all the Super Bowls, by the way, with Tom Brady and all that. You got a winner in from a winning program. He is quietly cleaning house and getting smart guys in good positions. And you see all these little trades behind the scenes, this guy released, this guy's picked up. Man, it adds up. Detroit, dare I say it, they might be in for an actual winning streak.
Well, we will watch and see. A lot of games between now and January 1st, but it might be really a new year to celebrate for Lions
Could
fans.
Could be.
Michigan Radio Sports Commentator John Eubank, and as always, thanks, John.
Thank you.